Today we are going to take a detour from our series from the book of James called Faith Works, and I'm going to bring us a message this morning specifically geared to our fathers. Once again, let me say happy Father's Day to all of you dads here today. Your role as a father is so vitally important and essential to this world in which we live. And by the end of this day, I hope that every one of you will not only feel the love and the admiration from your family, but you'll also feel it from your church family. So if your dad is here today, be sure you go out of your way and let them know how much you love and appreciate him. Amen? Because they deserve it. You know, whether you realize it or not, you hold a position of such great importance, and you carry such a powerful influence that your presence and your direction is literally foundational to the well-being of your children. Billy Graham once said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." And I couldn't agree more. A good father is truly one of the greatest gifts to the security and to the advancement of not only our families, but also our society. Fatherhood is a high calling, and it's something that I believe every man desires to experience in his lifetime. Because through being a father, every man has the awesome ability to leave behind a living legacy long after his years on this earth are completed. And that is accomplished through the influence and through the impact that he leaves upon his children and his children's children. My intention is to honor the fathers here today. But at the same time, my desire this morning is to challenge each and every one of you to set a standard of excellence as a husband and as a father. I want to encourage you this morning to create a legacy for your family that both you and they can be so very proud of. You know, Father's Day is a holiday where we make an attempt to honor the fathers and the husbands as their role as fathers. There's never as much fanfare on Father's Day as there is Mother's Day. Church attendance doesn't tend to swell on Father's Day like it does Mother's Day. Restaurants aren't as busy. Flowers aren't given out to men, though you do see a few neckties here and there. And socks are handed out by a pastor as a lighthearted way of recognizing men without going over the top. Because I know most men don't like it when you go over the top. It's a day that we set aside to recognize our fathers in a culture that is slowly but surely diminishing his importance. All you have to do is look at the dads that are represented on the television shows today to understand how our culture is devaluing the role of fathers in our society. There was a time when we had fine examples on television of fathers who were fully engaged in the lives of their children. We had Jim Anderson from Father Knows Best. We had Steve Douglas from My Three Sons. Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver. Mike Brady from The Brady Bunch. And Howard Cunningham from Happy Days. But as our culture has changed, so has the representation of fatherhood. And now we have such lame examples of fathers with the likes of Archie Bunker and All in the Family. Al Bundy, Married with Children. Homer Simpson. Peter Griffin from The Family Guy, and Hank Hill from King of the Hill. Our culture has almost made it an art form to bash fatherhood. Every TV program, even dads that you see on television commercials, are depicted as uncaring, aloof, seemingly clueless, and many of them like disengaged imbeciles. And it breaks my heart. It really bothers me. It burns me up to the core of who I am. And this is a trend that's got to come to an end. Sadly, the only one that we can blame, men, is us. Men in our society. This trend has been created by our actions, or by our lack of actions, by many dads. It's a result of too many dads not doing their job well, having children, not being a part of their life, treating their children like some kind of an accessory, and providing no real direction to their kids' lives. Some men being absent or abandoning their families, and even those who do abandon their kids, not making good on their financial responsibilities to help their children, to financially support them. Sadly, this is more of what we see in our society. And sadly, it's those kind of dads who get all the press. I was watching a clip on the news the other night of a man that had like 40-some children. And he's unemployed, and he hasn't paid a dime to any one of those kids. And he's talking about how the women love me. And I'm thinking, that's not a dad. That's not a man. Any man can be a father, or can be a dad. They can have offspring. But it takes a real man to be a dad and to love his children. And this whole concept, this whole problem in our culture is what's continuing to feed this mentality that fathers just aren't important anymore. And I haven't stated all of this to depress you guys this morning. I haven't done that at all. I do this to establish the fact, gentlemen, that we have a job to do. And if this trend is ever going to turn in our society, it's going to have to come from the fathers who carry this title called Christian. Because it is us, it is we who should be setting the standard in this world. Amen? If fatherhood is ever going to look like it looked decades ago, as a revered position in the home and an essential element to a thriving family, if fatherhood is ever going to once again be the key ingredient to the balanced life of a growing and an easily influenced child's mind, if we are ever going to see strong dads on television again like Leave It to Beaver or My Three Sons, men, we have got to do a better job. I was personally blessed to grow up in a home with a dad who left a tremendous influence on my life and on my brother's and on my sister's lives. He lived a life of great integrity. And he was a godly influence in our lives. And he left a legacy. And that is something that every one of us has the ability and the opportunity to do. So men, whether our culture has painted a picture of you seeming unimportant, or no longer necessary, or even disposable, the truth is that your presence and influence is essential to both your wives and your children. You are the key ingredient to the foundation on which your marriage and on which your family is built. Don't ever discount your importance. Don't ever discount the legacy that you will one day leave behind. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about leaving a legacy as a husband, leaving a legacy as a father. Because if you think about it, there are only two things that you can leave when you pass on to eternity. You can leave your possession and your wealth, or you can leave a legacy. And though leaving your family with millions of dollars certainly is a blessing, I think an even greater blessing would be to leave a strong Christian legacy for your children and for your children's children. One that would continue throughout their lives, and that they would carry on that same legacy to their children and their children's children. So this morning, I've come to share a few of essentials that I believe are required of us to not only set a standard for our family, but to make sure that this standard that we establish lives up to God's standard. Because He is the one that we should try to emulate. He is the one that we should try to please in these years that we have on this earth. And the first one is to deeply love your wife. Well, I thought this was a Father's Day message, Pastor David. Now you're messing with me talking about how I deal with my wife. What's up with that? Let me just say that being a good father begins with having a loving and a committed relationship with the mother of your children. Now, you may be divorced, and maybe perhaps you've remarried and you happen to be a part of a blended family now. But you know what? The same thing applies. You've got to be respectful and kind to your former wife, the mother of your children. And you need to exhibit unconditional love and respect for your new wife, your children's new stepmother. Ephesians 5:25, we are commanded, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And then it's followed in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. This kind of love mentioned here is an unconditional and a sacrificial kind of love. It's a love that puts the needs of your wife ahead of your own, even at the expense of sacrificing some of your own personal agenda, some of your own time. You see, a true and an unconditional love for our wives really comes through the outgrowth of the Holy Spirit within us. It does. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Well, I love my wife, Pastor David, I'm sure that you do. But does it ever include sacrifice? Does it ever include acting unconditionally in your love towards her? And the big question becomes, how do you show your love to your wife? Certainly providing for your family is the most paramount thing I think we as dads can do. The Bible tells us that. It tells us we're an infidel if we don't. And that's the one that we think of. But there are other areas as well. We must focus on taking the love that we hold in our heart toward our family and express it outwardly in ways for our children to witness and to see. Words are great. But how many of you know your actions speak a whole lot longer and louder than your words? And as you think about leaving a meaningful legacy behind for your wife and for your kids, understand that your children will respond to their spouse much in the way they have seen you respond to yours. You are their example, gentlemen. You are. It's important to be affectionate in front of your kids. It's important to perform acts of chivalry in front of your children. It's important to be respectful in your communications to your wife. It's important to provide acts of service that your kids will see and that they will learn from. And men, understand this. The kind of man you are to your wife is more than likely the kind of man that your daughter is going to be attracted to. Let me say that again. The kind of man you are to your wife is more than likely the kind of man your daughter is going to be attracted to. So as you look at how you treat your wife, understand you are leaving a bad legacy if you're not doing that well. And your sons will treat their wives just like they see you treat yours. Now that may be heavy, and it is, but it is the truth. So if you can honestly say to yourself, I've got to be better at expressing my love to my wife. If you're not setting that proper example, you need to begin. Establish a legacy that isn't afraid to love your wife out loud for all to see. Be willing to show some emotion. It's okay. It doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you a better example of a well-rounded man. It's okay to show emotion, guys. And I know we've been taught, suck it up. Don't let them see a chink in your armor. Don't let them see you sweat. Don't you dare cry. That's how our dads taught us. And you know what? That's difficult sometimes. And we suppress feelings that sometimes need to come out. And then we wonder why we run around with such anger sometimes. And why we're willing to pop somebody for when they ride your bumper, like I talked about last week. We wonder why we're all stressed out. Because we're not letting our true emotions out that really need to be let out. Pass on a legacy of love for your children to witness. Another area where you need to leave a legacy is through spiritual leadership. We are called to be the spiritual leaders of our homes and our families. In Deuteronomy 6, it's a great example of what I believe that this means in chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. It should be on the screen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This scripture from the Old Testament makes it clear of our responsibility to teach our children about the things of God, who He is, what He means to us, how that we live to have a personal relationship with Him. That is one major aspect of spiritual leadership in your home. Do you teach your children as diligently about the things of God as you do about their sports and about their interests and about their hobbies? Being the spiritual leader of your home entails many things, but at its very core, I believe it means setting a spiritual tone in your home. I think it begins by first humbly serving and considering yourself no better than others. It's living a life that speaks volumes to your faith and your trust in God. It's establishing that church attendance is just going to be something that we do as a family. We don't have to ask on Sunday morning, are we going to church? We know that we're going to go to church. It's just what we do. It's praying over meals. It's praying over needs. It's praying for if a family member is sick. It's utilizing the Word of God as your source and your understanding for life's trials and problems, and not giving conventional wisdom, but giving godly wisdom into the situation. It's important that we spend time in personal prayer, praying for your wife, praying for your children. It's important for us to show good financial stewardship in front of our children, supporting your church, not only through your attendance, but through your serving and through your financial stewardship. What a legacy to leave your family when your kids see that you took a portion of that which God blessed you with and you blessed the kingdom of God. It's important to allow and to encourage your kids to partake in the many things that this church has to offer for your children, and to support them and encourage them in their involvement. Being committed to your relationship with God, not just constantly being hot and cold, but being steady, being consistent, because chances are, if you are committed, they too will be committed. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When you leave a solid spiritual legacy for your kids, you leave them with the best gift you could ever give them. And the Word says they will not depart from it. But let me say, even if your kids should stray, like I did, they will never depart from it. And statistically, many do stray. But understand, the Word of God never returns void. Understand, any investment you make into your children in their younger years will stick with them until the day they die. I know, I'm a living example of it. The Holy Spirit haunted me with things I learned when I was a little kid. Not what I learned as an adult, but those things that were impressed upon me in Sunday school and Wednesday night church and the Bible memorization and all those things that I had to do when I was a kid. That's what brought me back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Those things will resurface one day again in the life of your children. And you have to believe that. It's what will bring them back. It's what will bring them back. Guys, I guess what I'm saying this morning is we can't allow our wives to do all of the rearing of our children. When it comes to spiritual matters with our children, certainly for most, the kids do tend to spend more time with their mom than they do. So therefore, it makes our essential time count. We have to make our time count. If we have a limited amount of time with our kids, it's important that we make it count. We've got to be engaged in the process. We've got to support what they are learning. And yes, we need to even share from our own heart what God means to us. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but if your children can see God's influence in their earthly father's daily life, it helps them to understand and to accept their heavenly father, because they have already begun to see God's character lived out in you. You know, this walk of Christianity, as we draw closer to Christ, as we start to understand His character in greater ways. And when they see Christ's character lived out in your life, don't you think it is easier for them to absorb what their Heavenly Father is all about? Another legacy that we have to leave our families is integrity. The gift of integrity is a blessing for your entire family, because integrity is seen in all of your actions. You either are a man of integrity or you are a man who lacks integrity, and it crosses every spectrum of your life. As they see integrity lived out, they too will live in it, because they watch it being lived out before them in the flesh every single day. What an influence we have upon the lives of our children. We have both the privilege and we have the capacity to literally mold their future character through our own actions. Proverbs 78:72 says, "So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." That was a scripture written about King David. David has gone down into history to be one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. In spite of his flaws, in spite of his shortcomings, he showed greater levels of integrity than any other king. And when we guide our families with the integrity of our hearts, what a precious gift we leave for our children. Because the truth is, they will see very little of it in this world in which we live. This world so lacks integrity that it's almost a foreign concept today. So that they see it lived out in your life, it makes a difference. So strive to be honest in your profession. Strive to be honest in your business dealings, in the way that you treat people every day, in the way that you even spend your money. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him." This whole legacy topic is so important because of that statement. His children are blessed after him. That's what legacy is all about. Yes, God blesses the righteous, their children and their children's children. But part of that blessing comes from your legacy that you are forging out. They are ultimately blessed by what they have seen you do, what they have experienced as you have led them. Your integrity, gentlemen, becomes the moral compass by which they live. And often it will restrain them from making the wrong moves and making the poor decisions that we see so many people make. Your legacy blesses them because it has shown them the truth. And the truth has been lived out before them, for them to see. Strive daily to put the truth of the Scripture in your actions right before their very eyes. Integrity is the cornerstone of any strong legacy that you can leave your family. And this morning, I encourage you, men, to make this be a driving force in your life. Another part of leaving a strong legacy has to do with generosity. And when I speak of generosity, I'm not just referring to financial generosity. Certainly, we are called to be generous with our time through our gifts of tithes and offerings and to give gifts to those who are in need. I think that goes without saying. But I'm also speaking about being generous in spirit. I'm talking about giving your family your time and your attention and your effort. Engaging in this process of family and actually being a part of it. When you are generous with your time and show your family that they are the most important earthly thing to you, this leaves such an incredible impact upon them. It creates feelings of security. It creates them feeling important. It creates feelings of loyalty and commitment. It does. You see, you can give people a whole lot of things, but there isn't anything more important that you could give them than your time and yourself. There's nothing better that you can give your family. You can give people a whole lot of things, but that's the most important one. Give them your presence. Give them your time and attention when they are with you. And how many of you know time together doesn't mean much if you're absent mentally? I think we all can look back on times where we were with our family and we were there physically, but we were not there emotionally, and we were not there mentally. We were 1,000 miles away. And let me just say, when we don't engage in conversation, when we are completely preoccupied with something else other than those who are in front of you, you might as well be absent physically because you're really not doing anything for your family. I've been there. I know this. I'm disengaged. I'm there, but I'm not engaged in the process. I understand this. We owe it to one another that when we are together, that we are not just there physically, but we are there emotionally and we are there mentally. A generous spirit will have a way of putting aside all the hang-ups in life, all the little things that we're worrying about. It's kind of shove them in a little compartment. You know, they say men can compartmentalize things. I saw a whole thing from some guy who's a marriage expert. He talks about the man's brain. We have these compartments and we can literally take something that our wives might talk about for 3 hours, and we can actually put it in a little box, lock it up, and not talk about it again. Well, we can do the same thing with our preoccupation of our struggles and maybe the financial issues that we're going through, the relational issues that we're going through. You have the capacity to put that in that little compartment, lock that door, and fully be with your family. Jesus said in Luke 12:22-25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." He says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? This scripture attacks and addresses the concerns that tend to distract us. And Jesus knew that we could worry about things in this life so much that it can be very unhealthy. He knows how unhealthy it can be to our family's well-being. Listen, I understand how financial concerns and health concerns and career concerns can weigh us down. I know we've all experienced it, but like the Bible says, there is a season for everything. And let me put that into my own terms. There are moments for worry, but it isn't when you're trying to spend quality time with your family. That's when you need to spend time together with your family and encourage them and not get caught up in these negative things. What I mean is, if you plan to spend time with your family, to have some fun, be there fully. Don't be a portion of you there. Be there fully, not partially. Give them your undivided attention. Let the concerns of the day or the month or the week ahead or the week that passed go by for a period of time. You can pick that burden back up later. You can go into that compartment. You can pull it back out and you can worry about it on your own time when you're away from them. You can ponder on it and you can take it to the Lord and you can pray about it. But don't ruin a great opportunity to really connect with your family through these things. Another way that generosity is expressed, gentlemen, is through your words. Do you speak encouraging words to your wife and your children? You know, we've all got to be better at speaking life into our families. Your words mean so much to them, both for the good and for the bad. Your words have the power to motivate. And conversely, they have the power to tear down and destroy. They can make your wife and your children feel good about themselves, or they can serve in developing a poor self-image. Your words, which can be so easily spoken, have such great potential. So man, we've got to look for ways in which we can build our family up and not tear them down. How many successful people have you seen interviewed and you've heard them say things like, "My dad always believed in me. He always supported me. He always told me, pursue your dreams." And these people have gone on to be great successes because they felt they had their father's support behind them. It was kind of like the wind underneath their wings. You see, a father's encouraging words have the power to empower. What you say has such a great bearing upon your wife and upon your children. And I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered as the kind of guy, the kind of husband, the kind of father who encouraged my wife and encouraged my daughter. Generosity can be expressed in so many ways. There's so many more not mentioned this morning, but it is an incredible legacy for us to leave to our families. But I want to talk about one other reason why it's important that we are generous in spirit, and it benefits you. Proverbs 11:2 says, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." I don't know about you, but there are times that I need to be refreshed. There are times that I need to be encouraged. According to Proverbs, when I refresh my family by being generous in the many ways that I can be generous to them, the byproduct of that is that I too am refreshed. It's kind of like giving a gift. I love to give gifts to Lisa and Brooke. I love to give them presents. I would much rather give gifts to them than ever receive one from them. And they blessed me last night for Father's Day. But you know, the truth is, it's not important to me. The gifts is not a big thing for me, but I love to give them gifts. And that's what I believe this, because what it does is it brings me great satisfaction. It brings me great satisfaction because I know that I have blessed this and blessed them. And this is what I believe the refreshing from this scripture that Proverbs is talking about. Not just in giving gifts, but being generous in all other areas. There's nothing quite like as you give of yourself to your family, as you develop a legacy and a pattern for them to follow, that you truly are the one who is blessed for doing that. Yes, you bless your family, but you are also blessed as you see your family grow and thrive in the ways of the Lord. As a Christian father, that should be our goal. This is what a Christian legacy is all about. So men, like I started with this morning, I want to honor you. But at the same time, I want to challenge you to be purposeful in the things that you do, in the way that you love, in the way that you guide your family. I want to go back to the scripture I read earlier about King David in Psalm 78:72. "So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and He guided them by the skillfulness of His hands. We must guide our family just like a king guides his kingdom. Not with an iron fist, not with edicts, but with the skillfulness that comes from a heart of integrity and from a deep love for their well-being. Not by being a ruler, but by being a servant. So when you get up in the morning, say to yourself, I'm going to find ways to serve my wife and to serve my children this day, and follow through with it. It's the most important thing, is to follow through. Scott, would you guys come forward and help me close this down? Back in March, I had the privilege of performing Bob Hayes' funeral service. And I was both challenged and I was stirred as his three sons got up and he shared the tremendous impact that their dad had on their life. Each of them shared stories about how their dad spent time with him, and even though he worked long and hard hours, he always seemed to find the time to let them know that he cared about them and he loved them. And each of them shared stories where the fun times that they had, how they looked up to their dad, how he was a spiritual influence on their lives. In fact, one of his sons is a minister, and the others are serving the Lord. They told about all the Christian principles and the lifestyle that he lived and how it deeply affected them. And I thought to myself, Bob Hayes really got it. He understood. He understood what is really important in this life, and that was his relationship with Christ, and that was his relationship with his family. And as always happens, whether I'm doing a funeral or whether I'm attending a funeral, I left there thinking what my wife and what my daughter might have to say about me when I pass. Will they talk about the legacy that I left them? For them to follow? Will they talk about how I supported them? Will they say that I was there when they needed me? Will they say they felt important to me, or will they say they felt like an interruption to my day? Will they say that I served them? Will they say that I made time for them? I hope so. But the truth is, we just can't hope. We got to take action. Every one of us, man, have to take action. We must make sure that we are truly fulfilling our role as the head of our household and the spiritual leader of our home. And truthfully, guys, that takes supernatural assistance. You see, there's only so much that we can do in our flesh. You can be an encourager. You can do lots of nice things within your own strength, within your own flesh, through our own efforts. But what we really need to rely on is the Holy Spirit in our life to give us the ability to do so much more. Holy Spirit provides so much for us each and every day. The Holy Spirit is a convicting force. It is a restraining force. It's an empowering force. It is a strengthening force that, among many other things, that the Holy Spirit is. And it is the strengthening that Holy Spirit provides us that allows us the ability to lead our family and to be a positive influence on each one of our children and on our wife. When you're tired and you feel like your tank is empty and you got no more fuel, call upon the Holy Spirit and He will strengthen you in your time of need. When you're burdened by your life's trials and you're worried and it's consuming you, call upon the Holy Spirit and help to put your mind at ease and put your thoughts on these gifts that God has given you, your children and your wife. So my hope for you men this morning is that you will dig deep in your walk with Jesus Christ. That you will actively seek to develop the fruit of the Spirit within your life and watch it being lived out within you as a father and as a husband. That you will daily be aware of your importance to the well-being of the future of your children and your family. That you will commit to this and that you will leave a strong legacy that when you're long gone, your family will continue to easily follow because they saw that it was the right way. That is the greatest thing that you'll ever be able to provide for your family. I want to ask all the dads to stand to your feet in this place. Let's hear it for our dads. I want to pray for the dads here this morning, but before I do, I just want to say to all of you, I am not quite sure you understand the depth of your importance. You are the key essential ingredient to the well-being of your children and the well-being of your family. I hope you know that. Maybe as I've been speaking, you've been reminded of times when you failed. You've been reminded that you spoke harsh words. You may have been reminded that you didn't speak words at all when it would have been appropriate to do so. Maybe you responded the wrong way under pressure and you said things that you later regret. Maybe you've done things that you have regretted. Can I just say to you this morning that every one of us have been there, including the man that stands before you today. You are not exclusive in making mistakes. You are not exclusive in not being the spiritual leader of your household. Every one of us falls short of this every day. Perhaps you think, I want to leave a strong legacy for my family, but I'm not really sure where to start. Well, let me tell you, it starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. You cannot really fulfill your role as a father without a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Because when you have Christ in your life, you are indwelt by His Holy Spirit. And it is that Holy Spirit that strengthens you, will provide you the strength that you need when you need it the most. To be the kind of father that you truly want to be down to the depths of who you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. The Word of God says that all who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And it also says that if we will believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead for our sins, for our iniquities, and we confess it with our mouth, we will be saved. So I'm going to pray a prayer over all you gentlemen today. And if you've never received Christ, just say these simple words. God, forgive me. I want a fresh start. I want a new life in Christ. Just ask Him to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and He will. And if you sincerely mean that, today can start something brand new for you. It can start an entirely new season in your life, going in a direction that you can be proud of. And it's never too late. It's never too late to leave a legacy. Don't let anybody fool you. You can do more in 1 year as a believer in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, than you've done in 15 years of maybe not even knowing Him. That's the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So as I pray over the men today and you've never received Christ, just pray those words. Ask Him to become the Lord of your life. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these dads that are standing today. What an important role they play in our life. Father, I know we've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of Your glory. That goes without saying. But today, Father, we recommit our lives to You. We recommit our ability to lead our family to You. And we give You the reins of our life and say, Father, guide and direct me through the integrity of my heart and through the skillfulness of my hands that You will provide. I pray for every man standing today. I pray that You would strengthen him, that You would encourage him, that You allow him to rise up and be something greater than he ever thought he could be in this community and especially with his family. That each and every one of us, Father, could leave a legacy that we could be proud of and that we know that our children would follow. So I ask that You'd empower each of them through Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You'd encourage them each and every day. I pray that they would look for ways every day on ways in which they can serve their family. Father, lay something in their heart every single day as they get up and they get on their day. Lay something, plant something in their heart that they can act upon that would be noticed by their family. And I pray, Father, that we would be the strong men of God You've called us to be. For those here today who don't know You, I pray that they said those simple words and that You entered their heart. And if there be anyone here today who did that, Father, they would come and introduce themselves to me so I could encourage them this day. Be with us this day and the remaining day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You can be seated, gentlemen. There's one other thing that I wanted to address today. I don't know how many of you heard, but Wayne and Senia Owensby, Wayne works here at the church, they had to fly out of town unexpectedly Wednesday for North Carolina. Their daughter, Bambi, was in a horrible car accident. She drives one of those little smart cars, and she had a collision with a dump truck. And I saw pictures, and they had to saw the top of the car off and lay it on its side to get her out of it. And she had head trauma. And it's a miracle that she's alive, according to the injury. She's got broken bones all over. And the reason I'm telling you this is I happen to know because I tried to help Wayne find airfare. It cost them $2,000 just to fly back to be there with her. And I know there's going to have a lot of expenses. And I know Wayne doesn't make a ton of money working here at the church. I just know that. And I'm going to bless Wayne. And I wanted to give his church family an opportunity. And I'm going to say, just like I said when we took up the offering for the tornado victims, there is no obligation to do this. Please don't ever feel pressured when I stand up and I say something like this. But I know that in the body of Christ, we care for one another. And I know the greatest thing we can do is support them in our prayer. But another thing that we can do is bless them with a financial gift to kind of offset these expenses. I'd love for Wayne to come back this week and me be able to present him with a really nice check to take the worry off of the money that he had to spend and is going to have to continue to spend, because she's going to be laid up for quite some time. It may even be a situation where she may have to come back here and live with them for a period of time. I'm not sure. We don't know all the details. But I want to ask the ushers to come forward. If you feel so led and you want to give to this offering, we will give it all to Wayne and Senia. I do want to let you know, whatever you give, it will not show up as on your statement from the church. This is just money that you're giving an individual. It's a gift that you're giving them, an alm, as the Word of God says. And if you, however, want to write a check, you can make it out to Bethel Assembly, and we will write a check from all of the money that comes in to Wayne and Senia. But I wanted to explain that to you. So let's just pray quickly over this offering. Father, I pray that you'd bless this offering. God, we want to do something very special for Wayne and Senia, and I pray that your people will rise to the occasion as they can, and I pray that you'll bless them for their blessing of this couple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, guys.